Cinnamon Vino is brought to you by BarkBox. BarkBox is a great way to spoil your pet at an affordable price. Sign up, and every month you'll get a fresh box of treats and chew toys, all specifically matched to your dog's size, weight, and health. Go to www.barkbox.com/cinnamonvino to get 1 month of free goodies on a multi-length plan. That's $35 worth of presents for your pup just for signing up at www.barkbox.com/cinnamonvino. Welcome back to Cinema Vino. It's good to have you guys here with us.
Ahoy, bitches.
We got Travis Budd and Sean.
Ahoy, Thorne. Bitches.
And hi, howdy.
My name is Todd. And we're going to do continue our Never Seen series with The Warriors. So who hasn't seen this movie?
You guys hadn't seen
yes.
it.
Yes. I hadn't.
I had seen it.
Yeah. I thought that I had, but I hadn't.
I was so goddamn proud of myself to come up with a movie that you hadn't seen.
Yeah. So there we go.
Because we originally had something else slated for this, and then when I finally realized you hadn't seen it, I was like, get it in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, this was educational for me, especially when I realized it was a Walter Hill movie, because he's done so many other big movies, especially in the 80s.
Well, and this one's not, like, it's not an AFI 100,
mm-mm, no.
Right? But it has a cultural importance to it.
It does. Yeah, it's definitely gained momentum.
Yeah,
over time.
I've seen the come out and play thing spoofed everywhere. So
yeah,
this has taken on life as its own.
Yeah,
and obviously the audio gets used all the time for TikToks and Instagram reels.
Mm-hmm.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hip to the youths.
No, I'm not either.
Huh?
No,
I'm all about them youths.
I'm no longer relevant. So there we go.
Yeah.
So we're drinking. Portuguese wine. This is a Douro. This is the Twisted wine. So a little background. Douro is a region of Portugal, which is primarily known for its port, but they have a lot of other different wines that come there.
Todd wanted me to point out that this wine sounds like the Mario villain. Evil Mario.
Yeah, this would be Douro.
Douro!
Is he also Portuguese?
I believe so. He has a weird accent. And a mustache, so he might be Mediterranean, you know, somewhere in that general, like, he might be Iberian.
Is Portugal Mediterranean?
No, but you know what I mean.
And he wears terrific eyeshadow as well.
We just lost all of our European listeners.
You get the gist of what I'm saying.
You know, those people.
He's got a mustache. He's probably from Europe somewhere. He wears a hat. So, anyway.
Guy's a sailor. He's downtown. We get this guy late, we won't have any problem.
It's Miller time. So, yeah.
Known for its ports, you say.
Yeah, primarily ports. But, yeah, full body reds. There can be some lighter wines from this region, but this one's definitely on the heavier, inky, like, it has almost a Malbec color to it. Kind of a big, rich red wine.
13%.
Yeah.
Big red.
Mm-hmm.
Big red.
So, this is about $15. So, a pretty good. I mean, Portuguese wines are a great buy. If you're looking for, like, a good, like, you know, good wine for a good price, Portugal and Spain are good areas to look in any wine store. So,
It's lovely.
It is. Yeah. It's not like a cool, bright, refreshing. It's like a kind of coats the tongue and cools the mouth.
Kind of has a velvety.
What kind of wine did you say it was again?
I don't know if they give the exact grapes because Portugal is kind of its own animal.
What kind of podcast is this?
So it's going to be a
grapeless pod.
Yeah. It's going to be a blend of local grapes in Portugal that you don't really find anywhere else except this region. But, yeah, Douro is a big wine production area in Portugal, and you'll see a lot of reds. A lot of them make their way to the United States.
Coastal? Inland?
It is coastal. Mm. So, but, yeah, you'll see, like, mainly ports. That's going to be the most famous wine from Portugal overall, which is a fortified dessert wine. So, but this one's a little bit different. This one has almost a Malbec Cab type feel to it, if you're trying to compare it to something.
Is Douro, is that Portuguese for donkey? There's a cowboy drinking wine with a donkey on the label, which I really like.
Yeah.
If it is donkey. Mm-hmm. Could be a horse. I don't know.
Yeah.
Those ears don't seem long enough.
More to follow.
TBD. If we could, you know, speak Portuguese, we might be able to read the label.
And I think it's actually pronounced Portuguese.
Yeah, it's not. This is America. Don't speak Portuguese here.
I just wanted the opportunity to bust that out. Yeah, so
it's good. No, I like it. How often do you get to break that out?
Never. I mean, that's my Ricardo Montalban accent. That's not even Portuguese. You know, it's a rich Corinthian leather.
Folk etymological derivation. God, I can't. Nope.
Wow.
These words. A folk etymological derivation suggests that the name Douro comes from the Portuguese or Spanish for golden.
Ooh.
So there you go.
That doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah.
Its name, Milwaukee, is Algonquin for
the chosen one.
All right. So, yeah. Anyway, Douro, good wine. This is good bread, twisted, $15. Try it. I mean, try it with lamb. I can't eat lamb because I grew up on a ranch where we raise lamb as pets, so I can't eat lamb. Try it.
Get it. You have a girlfriend.
The hell? Try it with a steak. Try it with a burger. Try it with a kind of heartier meal. So, if you're pairing it with food.
Heavy.
Yeah. And if you're doing it with a movie, try it with a heavier movie. Try it with a drama. You know, try it with something, a big, beefy drama.
A movie like The Warriors?
Yeah. Yeah, a heavier, bleaker movie. So, yeah.
But fun, kind of campy.
Yeah, it's bleak in a fun way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
That's my vibe. That's my niche.
It's like a bingo hall that smells a little bit like urine. You can almost smell the urine in the subways in this movie.
Yeah.
It's like, man, it's like, I don't see anybody peeing in these subways, but somebody just peed in one of these subways.
It's like freshly peed.
It smells like it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely smell the urine.
This is nice. The pee is fresher.
Yeah.
Todd, give us our synopsis.
Okay, so this was released February 9th, 1979. At the time, it received negative critical reaction and lots of complaints that it glorified and incited violence. Multiple fights broke out at the theaters where this movie was shown, and as a result, a lot of theaters pulled it from release. So a lot of critics gave it negative reviews, including Roger Ebert, who gave it, I believe, 2 stars out of 4. Many years later, as Walter Hill, the director, gained stature, the movie was reassessed and has now become a cult classic. Walter Hill would go on to direct The Long Riders, which is a great movie we could pod over sometime. Stars at it's a western about the James Gang, the Dalton Gang, or like the Youngers, and it has three sets of brothers, like the Carradines, all the Carradine brothers, David, Keith, I think one more, Neil or whatever.
Neil.
There's one Carradine that, yeah, it's like trying to name all the bald ones. There's Stacy and James Keach, and then there's Dennis and Randy Quaid, and also Christopher and Nicholas Guest. So there's like four sets of brothers in the movie.
Ooh, weird.
All playing brothers, yeah. So quite an idea. He directed that. He directed 48 Hours. So he wrote the very first Alien film. So directed by Ridley Scott.
Did Roger Ebert ever go back and re-review this?
He was reviewing another Walter Hill movie, and basically in that review he said, I was wrong about The Warriors. Like, watching that movie, like, God, and seeing the skill, he was like, yeah, I was too harsh on The Warriors. So film has a very lean and mean plot. It takes place... In my description, it's like, I would say it's like the New York era of The Summer of Sam, Bronx is Burning, like late 70s, kind of just like the real dingy rundown period in New York where they were crime laden, you know, lots of strikes, lots of unrest, you know, just not a good time for New York City. And in the beginning of the film, all the gangs in New York are invited to a meeting in Van Cortlandt Park in the Bronx, where Cyrus, leader of the powerful Gramercy Riffs gang, suggests uniting all the gangs in the confederation that could rule the city. But before he can finish his speech, shots ring out, he is killed, and the cops descend on the place. The Warriors, a small gang out of Coney Island, are blamed for the hit and are forced to go on the run. The Riffs put out a hit on the Warriors, and all the gangs begin to hunt them down as they try to get all the way across the city back to their home turf in Coney Island. So, basically, it's one extended chase scene after that.
And it's also very, very loosely based on the Odyssey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a group of soldiers trying to get home on a long journey. They get distracted by sirens. They get...
Shit.
There's a Cyclops, is the Baseball Furies. He's got the little eye. There's some interesting parallels to draw.
Yeah, and this was apparently based on a mid-60s novel by Saul Urich, 1965 novel. But I kind of read the description of the novel. It's kind of loosely based. They changed this quite a bit for the film,
mm-hmm.
including a completely different ending. So, But cast includes a lot of unknown people at the time. Michael Beck as Swan, James Remar as Ajax, Deborah Van Valkenburgh as Mercy, who... Dude,
Michael Beck is, like, he's sexy in this, right? Yeah. He's got, like, the flowing hair, and he's just...
Like a weird sexual...
He's sinewy.
Yeah.
Deborah Van Valkenburgh of Mean Guns theme. I thought I couldn't...
It all comes back to Mean Guns.
Yeah. I didn't know she was in this. I didn't know she was ever in anything else.
Yeah.
So.
She was in Mean Guns.
Mm-hmm. God damn it. Which version of it, though? Can you see her in the aspect ratio we watched, or is it like cut off?
5:4? I don't know if I
can actually see anybody in the aspect version that we watched.
I remember that one being kind of blue and murky. I think Christopher Lambert was in there somewhere, but I can't be sure. Mm-hmm. So basically, yeah, one long chase scene, a lot. They run into other gangs, they're being hunted. So it's basically just a constant level of tension and suspense throughout the rest of the film. That's what I got. And so, Trav, I want to start with you because you have never seen this, as have I. So I'll go next. But what were your thoughts?
I actually fucking loved it. I didn't know or think that I would because I thought I had seen clips of it on TV back in the day with, you know, commercials and interspersed flipping through the channels. And I thought I remember this movie differently. Like, I must have... A separate thought process that I think I've seen some movies where I assign plots to different movies and I just assume I've seen them. Had never seen this.
A lot of crossed wires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that Rembrandt died in this, the rookie gang member.
Yeah.
The guy that was tagging everything.
Youngest guy. Yeah.
For some reason I remembered him getting like finally cornered or something and then, you know, having a very, like, West Side Story moment, like, they killed him, killed Benny. So I might have gotten this crossed with West Side Story a little bit, too. Just from the get-go, when they're, they almost set it up kind of like a comic book, where it reminded me of Sin City as well, where it's like they show one person's face close up, and they have somebody from off camera coming in and talk to him like, hey, man, you heard this about Cyrus? And then they sometimes repeat the same thing.
Yeah.
So from there, I was already like, okay, I was on board. I was like, this is going to be like Sin City. There's going to be some highly stylized things. Loved how they used the radio announcer, the DJ.
Yeah, it's cool.
Who was
right?
Played by Lynn Thigpen, who would go on to play Carmen Sandiego. Later.
Ooh,
no.
Where?
Nice.
I believe in the video games and TV
Where
show.
In the world?
Yeah, exactly. It took me a minute on that.
No, I love the world building of like, okay, they've got like a radio network that all the gangs use. Mm-hmm. And like the main gang uses like this to communicate things out in code.
All you boppers out there.
All you boppers out there.
Yeah. I loved all those parts. And they used it 3, maybe 4 times.
Yeah.
It was great. Every single time I was like, oh, nice. This is like the news, like the beat going on in the background. I got to say, I just about want to give this a 10. For some reason, I it's not quite a 10. It's a 9.5, though. Good job.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Oh, I got a handshake.
Yeah.
It's like the Paul Hollywood handshake on Bake Off.
Travis doesn't hand those out very often.
He does not. Enjoy that. That is a rare joy. Mm-hmm. To throw out a movie that he has not seen and him give it a 10.
Yeah.
9.5. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a handshake.
It's just, there was some, you know, I was really hoping for more violence at the end. I felt that they had built it all up and I was like, all right, now this is where we're going to have like the big rumble.
Right. The production quality and the budget is still like pretty small.
Yeah,
that's true. And then some of the weird I don't know, some of the audio was weird and wasn't all synced up. But you know, it was the time. It's the 70s. So
yeah.
Those were the days.
It's a rip rolling, rollicking, roaring good time.
But yeah, so you're 9.5.
I think I'm 9.5, yeah. I was almost a 10 and I was like, well wait, what didn't hit the 10. I don't know. It's not quite at that 10 level, but it's up there. It's good shit.
It's not polished enough to, I think, to be a 10. Like it's like a 9.5 in that it still has that cult classic-y vibe.
Yeah.
And it's like such a great vibes movie, but it just doesn't have that tightness to it to make it a 10.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would watch it again too.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Great rewatchability.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I may change my review after I've watched it and kind of taken it in.
You haven't watched it yet?
like the rewatchability of it. That can definitely alter your rating. You know, go back and look at it again. So, yeah, I'm 7.75 on it this time, which is, I mean, solid praise, I think. it's like, for me, a 10 is like, for the next movie we're going to do, it's like a perfect movie. You know, it's like, I've got a short list of perfect movies, and it's like, to go back and watch a movie that far back in time, it's like, it's, you know, for a 10, it's got to hit all the notes.
Yeah. Know? To be up there with Casablanca would be bold claims.
It's like the Howard Hawks, the famous director, who said, you know, a classic movie he defined as 3 great scenes and 0 bad scenes. And it's like, you know, I mean, obviously Casablanca is loaded with them. And this movie has some very memorable, you know, albeit very different way, in a different way, like, you know, wearing a bat as a popsicle stick kind of thing. You know, so there's some memorable bits of dialogue, and, you know, I mean, I love the individual moments, like them, the couple kissing in the subway with the blue light behind them. It's like that was very stylistic and very well done. But it's funny, it's like how, you know, this is the bleakest New York City I've ever seen in a movie, you know, where it's like, having been to New York City quite a few times, I mean, it's obviously very, very different now, and it's been cleaned up a lot. I mean, at least a good chunk of it has.
Was it Giuliani who, like, really turned around New York?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's gone bonkers now and gone off the range.
Well, his hair has melted.
His hair has melted and seeped into his brain.
He got lost at the Four Seasons.
He did. The old hardware store, which happens to the best of us.
Yeah, well.
Lawn and Landscape. But, in the 90s, it really turned around and became a different city. You know, by the time, it's like, it's funny because I've been to the Bronx. I've been to a lot of these, around a lot of these areas where they're talking about. And it's like, I've ridden the subways at all times of day and night. Looks nothing like it does in this movie, you know. So it's like, you know, it's changed so much, and this is such a grim, like, version of it, where it's like, you don't see a shot of New York City in this movie where there's not just graffiti just all over everything and windows boarded up, and, like, you know, it's like, if you see people out, they're usually like gangs and people with bats, and, like, or they're cops.
Yeah, it's you don't feel safe in this city.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like even people who are hardened gangsters feel in trouble in the city.
It's like, you're going to get chased. Even when they actually go to a party, it's like, and they end up getting jumped there. It's like, there is nowhere safe in the New York of this movie.
You know what? I know what would have made this movie a 10 for me is if we would have got a description for Swan's name. If they would have been, you know, if the gal would have hung back and be like, why do the boys call him Swan? And we're like, well, he grew up ugly. And now here he is. Big, beautiful.
Is it not because of his hair? Like, he has very, like, flowing hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. See?
I'm not going to get over his hair.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep talking about
it. He's very sinewy.
He is so sinewy. Like this movie.
Yeah. But, yeah, this movie is obviously way better than the initial reviews came out that trashed it as.
Yeah. Why were people fighting? What were the fisticuffs? Did they walk out of the theaters and be like, let's form our own gang. Let's beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah. Being in a gang is cool.
Yeah. We're the orphans.
Or did the. Like, gangs go see it in theaters and
Ronald
then be
Reagan
like, shit.
Ran on a policy of, like, I saw the Warriors and New York City's bad.
Well, we're all hip here, me and Nancy.
We're all hip with the boppers.
All you boppers out there. Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit grim, a little bit, like, dour. I mean, it's like, to me, like you said, it's a fun slash bleak movie. Bleakness has never looked so fun.
But our heroes do ride off into the sunset.
They do, and they end up on the beach.
Quite literally.
Yeah. Well,
sunrise, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because even, like, Coney Island doesn't look great, you know, in this. It's like...
Well, and it's like, Coney Island is... Everyone's like, why would you go to Coney Island? It's, like, the last place on the train stop.
Yeah.
But for them, it's home.
Yeah. End of the line. You know, it's like they're literally going like 30 miles across the city in the course of the film, you know, which is just crazy. That's such a long subway ride.
Oh, another thing that would have made it a 10 is if the crazy guy that shot Cyrus, if he would have had any kind of like motive.
Yeah.
He was just like
just being crazy.
I just like doing it.
Yeah. Didn't what movie was it where the killer's like, yeah, I didn't grow up. I didn't have a bad childhood. I just like to do it. I'm just crazy.
I mean, I think of the Joker in The Dark Knight, where it's like, you know, I'm just a dog chasing cars.
Yeah. Well, no, there was an actual movie where he's the like guy's monologuing, and you're just like, oh, okay, well, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, can you do Michael Caine saying some men just want to watch the world burn?
Oh, yeah.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. The size of a tangerine. Anyway, so
Bronca.
So this was a good movie. It may improve to a great movie as I rewatch it. Sometimes I got to let it soak in a little bit, but I'll say 7.75 in that range for me.
Yeah, and it's only what, hour and a half?
Yeah,
it was
short movie. It's lovely.
Yeah,
and it's damn near in like real time. I mean, it's like them going across the city. It's like, I don't remember a lot of cutaways. I mean, obviously it cuts to different storylines, but it seems like it's almost like as it happens.
Yeah, there's not a lot of filler of them like running or riding on the subway. Like, yeah. It's very much like you are with them the whole time and yeah. see everything happen in real time.
I feel like that journey of 30 miles would take like hours in real life, especially at the New York of that time, especially when they're missing trains mm-hmm. and having to wait for the next one. That's going to take longer than an hour and a half mm-hmm. to get from one end of the city to the other. You would almost have to be perfect in your execution of like getting on one train, getting on the next train. Like you'd have to hit them at just the right time and know where the hell you're going. And these guys are obviously like struggling to read the maps.
They're out of their depth. Yeah, they're not used to reading a map that goes past like Grand Central or Junction.
Yeah. yeah.
Whatever, New York.
How the middle fuck point did is. The mm-hmm. sirens, the Lizzies, not hit anything with their shots?
Yeah.
They had three. Listen. Like there's any.
If they were using a snub nose. The aiming on that is awful. They were shooting from the hip. It was mm-hmm. bad.
Side note, if we start a gang, it's definitely going to be the Glizzies.
Ooh, the Glizzies.
Oh, 100% the Glizzies. Right. Yeah. yeah. that mean. Was my fantasy team name was the Glizzy Guzzlers.
it's like we're mean and we're wieners, so take that.
That's us. Yeah. Mean wieners. I mean, Glizzies.
Guzzling Glizzies.
So, Sean, what are your thoughts?
This one is definitely a top echelon movie for me. It's been in my list to try to fit into a theme somewhere for a while. And so when you said that you hadn't seen it, I fucking jumped on it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this would definitely have made it into my summer bucket. I love this movie. This movie is such a cool vibe. Like, it's not like the plot's not incredible. Like, there's not like a ton of twists and turns. Mm-hmm. The acting is honestly like it's okay. The script at times feels a little bit clunky and like immature. But it's just such a great vibe movie that you overlook all that stuff. And I think that's kind of the cornerstone of a good like cult classic is you appreciate a movie despite its flaws. You know, it's not going to be that super polished, you know, it's not going to be Casablanca, mm-hmm. but it's going to have an impression on you that you walk away and you're still thinking about that movie. And you're yeah. just like, man, that was just fun.
Yeah.
You know, I love how effortlessly they build this world up around like this gang where it's like, even though you just get introduced to each of these, you know, maybe 5 minutes at a time, you kind of appreciate the story behind each of them.
Yeah.
Like the baseball Furies come out of a dugout, all wearing pinstripes
and war paint.
War paint, all use baseball bats as weapons. It's such a cool theme of an idea.
Yeah. Mm.
And then you've got like obviously Cyrus's gang, which is very loosely based on the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this gang of like super militant dudes with sunglasses and berets. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got like the orphans, which are just like these nobodies, mm-hmm. but they're these dudes who just own like a stretch of the street.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they know about them.
They're the trolls at their little bridge.
Yeah. And it's just like such a cool little, like how you can see how everybody's carved out these little pockets in New York because it is such a gang dominated city.
Yeah.
And it's just, the way that it's so effortlessly woven in with like the radio broadcaster and just the way that everybody interacts and, you know, even from the top where they're just like, we're going in, 9 representatives, everyone's flying colors, no weapons.
Yeah.
Just right at the top. Mm-hmm. Boom. It starts building like the social structure. It starts building like what we're doing here, what the premise is. And just, it's just nonstop from there. Yeah. It's so cool. And it's so cool to see them like getting, you know, trapped in the unknown space and having to navigate like a world that they have to navigate through because that's who they are.
Yeah.
And then when they get home, they immediately get like a little bit more comfortable. You know, they go under the boardwalk and they like grab weapons off, like they pull off a piece of 2x4 and they're like, all right, we're going to draw them out to the sand. That's where we're going to fuck them up mm-hmm. because this is our home turf. We're going to act like it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I wanted them to get there. When I first watched this, I wanted them to get there, and, like, all of a sudden, there's a bunch more warriors yes. that, like, jump in and, like,
you great, think it's only 9.
You came to us. We've got numbers now.
Yeah. yeah.
But, you know, if you show up at 6 a.m., I don't think a bunch of other gang members are going to wake up.
No.
I don't know. It's just such a cool movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to put my finger on what it is about it that's so endearing. Yeah. But, like, this one has always been in my echelon, like, top echelon of movies.
Great
like,
soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great soundtrack.
I was wondering, there's a video game based on this. I guess
it came out in like 2006.
I was like, how are you going to do? Obviously, I didn't know anything about it, but I'm guessing that you're in a gang. You recruit other gang members and you have rumbles with other gangs.
Mm-hmm. I and you have to catch the subway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sure. Some of those gangs like wear roller skates and that's intimidating for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why.
And you're occasionally going to see people going to prom on the subway. Yeah. And you have to kind of stare them down.
For I love the scene where he just like grabs the flowers and like gives them to her.
It's nothing should go to waste.
So if you guys out there have played this game, go ahead and give us feedback in the comments down below. Hit like, subscribe, follow our Patreon. Oh shit, we do have a Patreon. God, we're those assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we follow are those our assholes. Patreon. Mm-hmm.
No, I am curious to know what the gameplay was like because I never played it.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the commercials for it as a kid. Mm-hmm. But I never played it.
If they can make a video game out of E.T., they can do anything.
We don't talk about that game. If they can make a game out of Superman, they can make a game out of anything.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the video games in the 1980s were shocking. Like, Back to the Future, that was a horrible Nintendo game.
Well, they didn't have a lot of, like, if they made a Back to the Future game now, it would probably be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But back then, like, on Atari or whatever?
Yeah.
No.
I'll do a game now where it's like you're in a real world like situation with a DeLorean where you can go to like different time periods and get adventures. That'd be awesome.
I gotta jump back to 1955.
All they need to do is reskin Grand Theft Auto and just give you a DeLorean and
call it Grand Time Auto. Yeah.
And only give you like three time periods to jump to because it'll get weird. In the DLC, boom, you unlock another time period.
Ooh,
there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway. This movie, I will give a 10. I'm giving it a 10.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It was close there for me. Honestly, I don't know why I didn't give it a 10.
Yeah.
Is it something, a certain je ne sais quoi? I don't know.
I don't know what. But yeah, it's like I enjoy Walter Hill a lot as a director. I like he's very stylized violence. It's like he loves doing the slow motion, like when somebody gets knocked back or shot, like they fall back in slow motion. Yeah. He's a big fan of that shot in all of his movies. I mean, it's like the Long Riders, the Western. It's like,
was it used in this movie? I guess when Cyrus gets shot
in the bathroom scene.
That was just, like I was really hoping they would have like a great plan. Mm-hmm. They went in there.
It's just in the toilets.
They've often gotten jumped in a bathroom. He nods to the toilet. I'm like, oh my god, they already have like. He's like, execute plan Delta 9. And they're like, fucking on it, boss. Like, I thought they were going to be in the rafters, or I thought they would have, I don't know. Instead of, you know, I thought one of those guys had a gun that he just would have shot through one of, like, the things that, like, fuck your hairspray, bro. Also, all the themes, themed gangs, 100% reminded me of, like, Gotham City. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
This is, like, I could totally see, like, the Jokers. Out there.
Oh, and I could totally see like the Joker wandering out of the subway in one of these scenes, like just, you know, Joaquin Phoenix just coming into the like where all these guys are sitting.
Yeah.
You know, or Heath Ledger or whatever. It's like, you know, yeah, you could see him. You could see Batman intervening in some of these gang fights.
This is the era of New York that is like peak Batman Gotham. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everything is unsafe, super dangerous, spray painted everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the guy says he got 20,000, or was it? He said 60,000 gang members and like 20,000.
We've got 60,000 gang members.
That's crazy.
What, they had like 100 gangs there, 9 people per, so it was like at least 900. Right there. They had like, you know, 980-something people out chasing him around. That's the tagline. Mm-hmm. It's like 9 guys against almost 900.
Yeah.
If there's one line to take away from this movie, it is 100% Cyrus's, can you dig it? Yeah, that is true. Just, I use that all the time. Mm-hmm. No one gets it.
Also, he started the whole thing, was like, can you count? And then
suckers?
And 6 police cars show up with maybe 12 dudes.
Silently.
And he got shot. Yes, I understand. Mm-hmm. But they could not count. The police officers were woefully outnumbered.
Yeah. They need some backup.
I guess
most of them got away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they do, well, I'm sure mostly all, just about all of them. But, and damn it, who was the guy that got killed by the train? They never discovered.
They never talked about that.
Yeah.
But he was also, I recognized him. Was he in the Blues Brothers?
I could not figure out what he'd been in, but his face was super recognizable.
There's a lot of that in this movie.
Yeah.
The actress who plays the like undercover cop or whatever in the park who busts Ajax.
Well, oh wait, never mind. I thought this was. I was looking at. Who does this look like to you? Is that John Turturro?
That looks like John Turturro. That looks like the Jesus.
No, but it's the guy that was Baseball Fury. It was Jerry Hewitt. And I was just looking at it. I was like, that's. I'm looking for the guy that got killed. Fox.
Yep, Fox.
Sorry, continue. Undercover cop.
Was Mercedes Rule, who would later go on to play Tom Hanks' mom in Big. And she's also in The Fisher King. So,
yeah, she looked familiar.
And then she was also love interest for Frasier on Frasier. So, yeah.
Did she wear her hair in a tight bun?
No. I think her hair is always flowing like it is in this movie. She always looks like this. I spotted her immediately in the hair. It's like, that's Mercedes Rule. So
the guy who played like the evil guy, David Patrick Kelly, he's got a great face.
Yeah.
He's been in some cool stuff.
And he just looks like a tweaker, you know?
He does.
Yeah. I mean, and he does a great job of begging for his life at the end. That was awesome.
I love him in this role. He's just really fun.
Yeah. Everybody was having a good time. You could tell with this.
Yeah.
Incidentally, James Remar was cast as Hicks in Aliens originally. And, lost a part for drug related reasons.
Oh, and then didn't he was in Resurrection? Oh wait, no.
He was in an Alien movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. But you can still see him supposedly in some like behind the shoulder shots instead of Michael Biehn.
Oh, like
he's still in the final cut. So a little trivia for you. But this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. And we thank you guys. So try Twisted Douro from Portugal. Good value, budget red.
But not great value because that would be Walmart.
Yeah, that would be like Dr. Thunder, Sam's Choice. Yeah, check out The Warriors, Walter Hill, 1979. Is available on AMC Plus. If you're looking forward to stream it somewhere, you can get it there. But yeah, great movies. Only Drunker, Todd Wofford, Sean Jordan, Travis Budd.
Peace.
Love you.
And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.